I am so thankful this morning that we serve a master who walks and calms the seas of our lives. Not just the seas of old, not just that old boat that was out there that day with his disciples on it. He calmed those seas. But we serve a God this morning that knows where you are. He knows where we are in life. He knows the speed of the winds that blow. He knows the height of the waves. It's not passing his notice, and he cares. And I'm so thankful today that I can call him Father, can call him my God, my friend, somebody that can be counted on. We live in a world today that is a time of change, a time of uncertainty. No doubt, seems like those are staples of the journey of life that we are all on. But I woke up the other morning. Well, I guess it was several weeks ago. You know when you go from unawareness to awareness, and you wake up and you have a song going through your mind, and I always so appreciate when that happens. And I woke up singing the song, "He's Just the Same Today." He hasn't changed any. He's still the same God today that He was back when Jesus walked and calmed the seas. And I was encouraged by that song, and later the same day, I was taking a walk along the river, and I saw where somebody had spray painted somewhere a question. And they had spray painted, "Where is your God now?" With all that's going on in the world today, where is your God now? And I want to report to you this morning that our God is still alive. Our God is still a present God. He's still working at His throne. He hasn't changed any. He's a present God. He's a caring God. He's a God of strength. He's a God of might. He's a God that still cares. He's still a God of forgiveness. He's still a God of mercy. He's a God that continues to stretch forth His hand to all of those that are in need. He's still calling sinners to repentance. His blood still applies. Thank the Lord. He still cares about you. Regardless of where we may stumble and fall, and we do. Sometimes we stumble hard. We serve a God today that is still a God that is alive. He's aware. He's present. Nothing has changed. He still cares. And there yet still remaineth a rest to the people of God. And I want to encourage you by the help of the Lord this morning. I have just a few loaves and fishes to offer that I pray that God will expand and multiply into your heart this morning. My thought today and my exhortation to each one of you is that we would find quietness and confidence in Jesus Christ. That's our strength, quietness and confidence in the midst of trouble. And I'd like to read a verse in Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and the 15th verse. This was Isaiah writing. You can read the verses, but really the Israelites had been inclining their hearts and their trust towards Egypt. And Isaiah was writing, and he said, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee upon horses. We will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. And I'm thinking this morning about these wonderful, encouraging words that in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. A simple message that I want to give to you today is that our rest still remains in Jesus Christ. There is so much physical, there is so much emotional, so much political turmoil that's around us. You know, there's turmoil that goes on in our hearts and lives that no one else knows anything about. We can talk this morning about political turmoil that we can all of us generally put our hands around. Emotional turmoil that's in the world. The ravages of sin that we can see around us, how it adversely affects people's lives. But you know that there's also places in our lives that maybe nobody else knows anything about. Waves that seem like keep coming. Wind that keeps blowing. Struggles that we have that just sometimes seems like we just don't know the answer to. That's life. That's reality. These are the things that are real that Christians face. And they affect all of us. And sometimes I think we can be pulled into a false belief that our rest sometimes comes in our own solutions. Sometimes we look for rest in all the wrong places. I think oftentimes we look to our own wisdom. We seek to understand things that are beyond our ability to understand. And then when that happens, we can begin to lose faith and we can begin to lose our confidence and the peace that the Lord has for us. Folks, our rest is not in a quiet and peaceful world. Our rest doesn't come from having everything. We heard this morning health and wealth messages, the prosperity messages that are preached. God came, Jesus came to bring us quietness and a confidence and a rest and a peace in the midst of the storm. And you know, when we can find peace in the midst of the storm, what can move us? Isn't that what moves people is the storm? Isn't that where we get hung up, those places where there's weights that we can't lift and we can't move? Isn't that what causes us distress in life? It is me. But the Lord has an experience for us, an experience of faith where we can rest and have confidence in Jesus Christ. Did you know that God is not on His throne this morning wringing His hands? He's not up there wondering, oh no, look what's going on. What am I going to do now? I didn't see this coming. Well, look at the sickness that's in the land. Look at the morality that just seems to be going downhill. Look, it just seems like there's trouble that I didn't see coming. Oh no. Do you think God is up there wringing His hands today? No. God's not up there wringing His hands. He's not distraught. He's not anxious. He's not worried about tomorrow. He's not worried about what the end is going to look like because things have gotten outside of His strength. No. We serve a God today who's still in control. He's still God. He is still a God that has the ability to affect His will in our lives regardless of what it is that we may face. And He wants us to be encouraged by that. I think sometimes of the account in the 17th chapter of Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but it's the account of the Mount of Transfiguration. And you remember the three of the disciples went up there with Jesus and they saw a beautiful, wonderful thing take place. And what was Peter's response? His quick response was to step in and he had the solution. It seemed like Peter had the solution in good times and bad times. Have you noticed that? And you know what? We give Peter, I say this, like I would say, we give Peter kind of a rough time. I like Peter. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I can identify with him. I think he's a whole lot like we are. You know, when he swiped at that servant's ear, I don't think he was aiming for the ear. He was looking to end that life. That was the bad time. In the good time, he had the answer for that too. Well, let's just build tabernacles. It'd be a good thing, Lord. I mean, this wonderful, miraculous thing just happened in front of their eyes. Moses, Elijah, he called him Elias, Jesus transfigured before their eyes, and Peter's got the answer on what to do next. And we sit here and shake our heads and go, oh, Peter, please, no, not again. And I wonder if sometimes the Lord says, oh, Rod, please, not again. And as soon as Peter finally got done saying whatever it was he wanted to say, and maybe the Lord cut him off, I don't know. But it said that a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's where the answer is. The answer is not pulling out our sword because that's what seems like the best thing to do. Because that's what seems like Peter, in his wisdom, that's what we need to do. Got a problem here? Let's do that. That wasn't going to bring peace. That wasn't going to solve the problem. In the good times, when it looked like the Lord had blessed, Peter was ready to do something then too. And yet the Lord said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. The Lord has the answer for us this morning. And Israel here, the Israelites, Isaiah said that this rest was missed out on because the people didn't follow this truth. They didn't return to the Lord. They didn't return to the place where the quietness and confidence in God, it was available. But they were looking to the fast horses. They were looking to the activity. They were looking to those things that seemed to appeal to their senses and their flesh in a positive way. We do the same thing, don't we? Aren't we tempted to do the same thing? We're tempted to look at the things where there's activity and where the horse, it looks strong and it's fast. Well, that must be the answer. It's in the horse. The sword's sharp and I've got one. Let's try that out. That's a good tool. It'll work. Hey, I can build tabernacles. It'll be beautiful. Maybe that's the answer. But these people lost their rest. They didn't have the rest that God wanted them to have because they were looking in the wrong place. And I wonder sometimes where we are. Well, I can tell you where I am. I'm not always where I want to be. I'll just self-disclose. You know, back in the older days, and there's some of them there, they have dials, indicators, you know, where you have the old analog indicators where there's a needle that moves, you know, and you maybe got red, yellow, green. Red's not good, yellow's kind of dangerous. You want to be in the green zone. If we had a dial that was implanted on us, red, yellow, green, it's got a needle on it, and it moves, And whenever we get into trouble in life, whenever hard places come, which often we're in those places, you know, most of the time we live with hard places in our lives. We just do. If the enemy tells you you're the only one, I want to tell you that's not true. We're right, the rest of us are right there with you. All right? Life is full of trouble. But if we have that needle implanted on us, and I wonder where it resides. I wonder where that needle typically hangs out. If it is a needle that demonstrates and illustrates our rest and our quietness and our confidence in Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Lord wants something special for His people?
Yes.
He didn't promise that He was going to take away all the trouble. He never said, listen, if you'll follow me, I'll make this life a bed of roses. He never promised that. But He did promise to go with us. He did promise us a peace and a rest. Brother Tony said this morning, it's not that we're going to understand everything all the time. That's our faith is not in, and our confidence is not in, that we'll eventually get to the place where we understand everything and know what's ahead of us in this life. That's not where it's at. It's having confidence in the one that does. It's having faith in the one that does know. I don't know how it's going to all turn out. I can't explain why this happened in my life. I can't explain to you why I have to feel this hurt. But here's what I can explain. I know the one that does know. And He cares. And He's in control. And He knows how to make all things work together for good. He can take the ugly and do something with it. He can take the unpleasant. He can take the hard places and He can work it for good. And I think sometimes what the Lord wants us to do is find that place of rest in a greater way than what we do. You know, I started to realize in the world, we talk about the world, people out in the world, you know, we included, we're uncomfortable with quietness and stillness a lot of times.
Amen.
Aren't we? You ever notice you sit around the table and all of a sudden no one says anything and then people start getting fidgety and nervous, and I'm not saying always, but this can happen. And then someone feels like they have to say something to break the silence. We can get uncomfortable with quietness. It's like, somebody say something. Have you ever heard someone say that? Somebody say something. And then we wonder why we're stressed out and we're not finding rest. Parties out in the world, you know, the success of parties are kind of dependent on how much activity and how noisy it is. It's like, man, I was at a great party last night. Well, what happened? Well, it was really quiet, you know, and there wasn't a lot of activity, but it was a really great party. And people look at you like, what kind of party did you go to? And then we wonder why we're not at rest. It's like stillness creates a vacuum that we think that we have to immediately fill. People turn the radio on. We pull our phones out. We turn the computer on. We engage in activity. People say, well, I got to be doing something. Why? Did you know that sometimes the Lord wants to bless us with stillness and quietness so He can begin to impress upon us that He's the answer? Have you ever stood on the side of the road and a truck goes by and the truck goes by and it's gone, and then all of a sudden there's all this turbulence in the air? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you can feel it in your car when a bigger truck goes by. And really what's happening is you have air that's there, and when a vehicle goes through it, it displaces the air. The air gets pushed out of the way. The pressure of the air is no longer there because now there's a car. And then as soon as the truck moves, there's this vacuum. There's this void that has no air in it. And what you're feeling is not the truck. You're feeling all of the air that's around it rushing in to fill the void where there's no air. You know that sometimes the Lord would like to send along a big old truck of quietness and stillness and peace without us feeling like we have to fill the void when it comes by our way. The Lord would like to remove the pressure sometimes in our lives if we'll let Him. He doesn't always change our circumstances. But God knows how to come our way and do something special for us when we don't always have to be the one creating all the activity and stir. That's not always the answer. Jesus wants us to trust Him. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to find a rest and a peace in Him. One of my children, and I won't mention her name, when she was young, she would rather move than be still. She liked to wiggle. And I wanted to cuddle. And she didn't want to cuddle, she wanted to wiggle. And so I'd wrap my arms around her and hold her really tight. Well, she didn't like that either. Suffocating, can't breathe. She could breathe. And I'd clamp down on her and I'd say, look, if you just be still, just stop moving, then I'll let up. All right, here we go. I'm going to start letting up. So I'd start easing up, getting some space. And just as soon as I started letting a little bit of space, there comes the wiggling and the moving. And so then I'd clamp down again. We'd do that for a while. Did you know that we do that with God sometimes? The Lord's saying, look, if you'll just be still, we can enjoy some time together. If you just stop moving, if you just trust me, I have your best interest at heart. I want to do something good for you. Believe in me. Trust in me. Be still and know that I'm God. Jehoshaphat faced a big enemy that was coming his way, and he felt dismayed by it because the numbers of the enemy were greater than the numbers that he had. And the Lord said, don't be dismayed by reason of this great army. The battle's not yours. This battle's mine. Sometimes God gives us the intellect and the ability to move the load. And He does that for us. He doesn't want us to go in a corner and just say, well, I'm just going to trust the Lord for everything. And then we're not responsible. We're not going out and doing what God wanted us to do as people and as using the abilities He gave us. But there are times we face a bigger enemy than what we can handle. And the Lord would like to come along and say, I've got this one. Be still. Don't run away. He told Jehoshaphat, you go out there and face it, but be still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I want to reinforce this morning, you know, people could preach this and maybe try to act like you read some verses and get in touch with God and all your troubles will go away. That's not my message today. These enemies were real. Jehoshaphat really did have enemies. They really were coming after him. He really did have to go face them. The Lord didn't say, go hide and I'll take care of them and you won't ever have to see them. They had to see them. We do feel pressure in life. We will feel hard places. They're going to come. But the Lord wants to go with us in those things. That's where our confidence comes, is in the one who knows how to take care of it. The Lord wants to do special things for us in that manner. And sometimes He gets us to the places that we don't have the strength and we know we don't, because that's where He has to get us for us to finally say, God, help me. I need help. I'm at a loss. Several years ago, I preached a message here titled, Have You Any Meat? Do you remember when the Lord asked His disciples, do you have any meat? You remember that? Perhaps the disciples were feeling maybe discouraged. I don't know. It was after the resurrection. But they were confused and they didn't understand maybe. And they didn't really know what their place was anymore. And there wasn't a new kingdom. And they weren't sitting on the right hand of a literal throne. And what was their place after all anymore? It seemed like things were changing. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the rest of them said, I'm going fishing too. So they went fishing, but they didn't catch any fish. And they worked all night. And they were tired. And they had to deal with the forces of nature. And tiredness. And they threw out and pulled in. I mean, that's what they knew to do. They knew nets. They knew fishing. And yet, even in what they felt like they knew how to do, they weren't catching anything. But who was it that came walking along? Who was it that knew where they were? Jesus Christ. He knew where they were. He knew what they felt. And He said, hey, y'all, do you have any meat? No. Didn't get a long-winded response. He said, no. You feel like that sometimes? I do. Sometimes do you feel like you feel kind of empty? You know, I took note that the Lord didn't say, do you have any salad? He didn't ask that question. Sometimes we feel like, you ever feel like you've been eating salad for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? I like salad, but I also like meat. The Lord said, do you have any meat? And sometimes we can go along in life and we can get to the place where we just feel like, Lord, I don't have any meat. I'm hungry and I don't know what the answer is. I've been doing everything I know to do and I thought I knew how to take care of this. I thought I knew how to throw the net. We've been fishing a long time and we've been doing everything we know to do and nothing's worked. And no, we don't have any meat. And we're hungry and we're tired. And we don't know what the answer is. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what we'll do differently tomorrow. We tried everything we knew to do today. It's outside of our control and we can feel that way sometimes in life. We get in those places. We might think we know the answer only when we try and we try and we get to the end and we still feel like, no, I don't have any meat. The Lord would like to come by our way too. The Lord wants to come by your way. Lord, I don't have any meat. I feel empty. Lord, I don't know that I did anything wrong, but Lord, I don't feel your presence like I would like to feel. Lord, I feel discouragement settling in. Lord, it seems like I just see like there's darkness around me. Lord, my loved ones, they need help and I don't know what the answer is. Lord, I have an emptiness in my heart. I don't know how it'll ever be filled. I don't have the answer for it. And I see no end in sight. Lord, my finances, I don't know how I'm going to get over this. I've tried everything I know to try. It's real. It's life. And we're going to face it. Jesus wants to be part of it. And He wants us to get in that place where we can experience a quietness and a confidence because we're serving the God of the storm. If you'll allow me, I want to pause for a minute and give you a testimony, an Ebenezer stone. A lot of years ago, I was at work and it was in the summertime and it was getting hot outside. And our plants rely on chilled water. We had a big 450-ton chiller that made chilled water. And it wasn't working, and everybody tried to work on it and couldn't, it wouldn't work. The temperatures in the plant kept rising. We weren't going to be able to keep running for very long. I went out. I did everything I knew to do. Everybody else went out. Couldn't get that thing running. And I was standing out there beside of the chiller, and it was hot, and time was running out, and there was no answers. Everybody had done everything they knew to do. And I stood there, and I thought, why not? And I put my hand over on that chiller, and in a moment of stillness and quietness, I lifted up my heart and said, God, I know it's just a chiller, but you're the God of the chiller too. You know all about everything. And Lord, you could help if you would. And as I was praying, the chiller started working. As I was praying with my hand on it. I'm not saying that will happen every time, because it hasn't. But it is an Ebenezer stone that I've never, ever forgot. We serve a God who knows what is going on. He's a present God. He is concerned. He wants to do special things for us. He wants us to get still before Him. We tried everything we knew to do to no avail. And then I got still and just said, God, have mercy. Could you help? Would you do this? You know, being still is akin to throwing your nets on the other side of the boat. Because it so goes against what our natural impulse is. My natural impulse is that when there's a problem, rush in and try to solve the problem. And my guess is that most of you here today, we may approach it in different ways, but our natural impulse is for us to go try to take care of the problem, which there's nothing wrong with that. God expects us and wants us to be responsible before Him. But sometimes He asks us to throw our nets on the other side of the boat. Which is exactly the opposite of what those disciples thought they needed to do. And sometimes the Lord says, I know it feels like you need to do something here. Why don't you just be still? Let go and let God. Let me take this one. Let me be the answer. Let your confidence and your hope be in the God of the storm. We have a city of refuge this morning that we can run to. The city of stillness, quietness, confidence in the God of all creation. The scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. There is a rest to the people of God. There yet remaineth a rest still today to the people of God. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. The scripture never told us that He's going to take away all of our hardship. And I want to again acknowledge that hurts are real. Pain is real. And we really feel it. Difficult circumstances of life are real. And I'm not preaching a message this morning that if you get in just the right place and say just the right prayer that the Lord is going to remove all of the trouble. No. But the Lord wants to walk with you through it. The Lord would like to cry a little bit with you. He wept with those that were weeping because Lazarus was dead and he saw their pain. The same God that knew that in just moments he was going to raise him from the dead. He could have said, "Whoa, guys, folks, women, don't stop crying. I got this." But he felt their pain. And he wept with them because it was real. We don't always have the answer, and we won't always have the answer. My wife encouraged me different times. Sometimes raising our children, you know, it's a big responsibility. And to the parents here with young children today, you can feel a real load. You want to do it all right. I didn't do it all right. I made a lot of mistakes. I would like to do some things over again. I can't do, but I was reminded at different times, Rod, it's God's a part of this too. He can help fill in the gaps that we create. We're going to make some mistakes, but it's not left up to just us. The Lord's in this with us. Sometimes I color outside of the lines, not meaning to, and I look back and go, how did I do that? Why couldn't I have made that a prettier picture? But you know that the Lord knows how to take the colors and the lines that go outside of the black lines. And He knows how to turn it for good sometimes. A lot of times, most of the time, we live going forward, but we learn looking backwards. We don't have the luxury of living going backwards. But the Lord wants to live with us. And He wants us to have the quiet confidence and strength in knowing He's God. And He cares. Let's be encouraged in Him today. Pray for me. I want to be true.